Welcome to Radwell's Automation Nation. Adjust the volume or put your favorite earbuds in and let's explore the manufacturing and automation industry together. I promise you, if you love the industry or just cool technology, you will love our podcast. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 7 of Radwell Automation Nation podcast. Today's episode is about the value of distribution facility operations assessments. Our guest is Howard Coleman, principal of MCA Associates. MCA Associates, a management consulting firm since 1986, works with wholesale distribution and manufacturing companies that are seeking and are committed to operational excellence. Howard and his team of senior consultants provide business consulting in specific areas of core competency, which include operational excellence, thought leadership, and business process reengineering, distribution center and warehouse design and resource integration, inventory and supply chain management, ERP and WMS systems technology assessment, organizational assessment and development, sales development and revenue generation, and competitive advantage assessments. And now to walk you through why distribution facility operations assessments are valuable, Howard Coleman. Thanks for joining us, Howard.
Thank you, Julie, and surely thanks to all the folks at Radwell International for inviting me to speak to you today on this podcast. So hello, everyone. You know, I think I would probably get near unanimous agreement if I said that distribution-related companies should always be looking for ways to improve the operational efficiency of their distribution facilities. And whether you conduct an operational assessment and process review on your own, or reach out to an outside resource, a distribution facility operational assessment is, I believe, step number one, to be nimble, be quick. Now, many of today's supply chain, distribution center, and warehouse managers are considering adding automation to their operations in an effort to improve performance metrics. Next generation technologies and automated materials handling solutions, including robotics, autonomous sortation solutions, automated storage and retrieval systems, and more can certainly deliver significant improvements to operational efficiencies and order fulfillment, as well as address labor and flexibility issues, particularly if you have scale. And surely our friends at Radwell International are a good example of that. So whether you are considering moving to a new DC or warehouse, expanding a current facility, or just making the one you have more efficient, you can develop and employ actions that don't necessarily or significantly drive up your company's ongoing operational expenses, that minimize increased real estate or labor costs, as well as the potential for outsized automation costs. Now, just one note before I go any further. You know, this podcast medium is not a visual one. So at the end of this podcast, I'm going to let you know how you can obtain some additional resources that should allow you to visualize in greater detail what we're discussing today, as well as some additional content related to developing your own KPIs, your own key performance indicators, in our own assessment guide describing what we believe is a three-phase approach to warehouse improvement. So what do I see as the main objective of a distribution operations assessment? Well, I happen to believe it's to foster uninterrupted speed of flow. In other words, increase the velocity of throughput. All other improvement originate from this singular and main objective. So in this podcast, I'm going to describe some key elements of a distribution operations assessment, what you should expect to need to evaluate, and then suggest five or six or so creative solutions that address the barriers and bottlenecks we often discover in an assessment. Solutions which often can be implemented in 3 months or less. They've been used by companies in a wide variety of industries, in some cases to delay or eliminate the need to move or expand, rather putting near-term efforts into better utilizing current distribution facilities, which, by the way, is sometimes a very viable option. But first, a few words of caution. An operation assessment is not a performance evaluation of your staff and employees. It's not just some mechanical assessment of the materials handling equipment you possess, and it's not meant to be an opportunity to enumerate some grandiose blue sky wish list. So what is it then? Well, it's an opportunity to determine the suitability of your distribution facilities, your workflow processes, the speed of flow they can attain, and your utilization of labor, your KPIs, and the technology you possess. It's particularly important if your company has a focus on reducing future costs as your company continues to grow through a multifaceted speed of flow initiative. So here's a fact. 70% of the activities performed in a typical distribution center or warehouse are non-value-added activities, meaning only 30% are value-added. We see it time and time again, and I'll stand by that fact. It's essentially a functional process review to identify and remove the barriers to success by reducing and eliminating those non-value-added activities. It's an end-to-end process review of overall material flow, to evaluate whether you have a uniform and consistent flows versus congestion. It's also a review of your critical subsystems, all the things you do, picking, packing, staging, loading, receiving, put away, bin location replenishment, maybe even kitting and fabrication and assembly, other sorts of value-added activities. It's an evaluation of your labor utilization, your labor management, staff planning, and labor balancing. And it's an evaluation of the KPIs that you utilize, if any. In other words, how do you measure the as-is, and how will you go about measuring the to-be? So I believe the first step is to identify where you are, the current, the as-is, what I often call the baseline. What will you ultimately have to compare yourself to? So my intention is to help you begin to identify where you are and encourage you to ask the right type of questions in a structured fashion. What size facility is really required, consistent with your current and future volumes? You know, there are many factors to consider when assessing, designing, or reorganizing a warehouse, as every design decision can have a significant impact on operational efficiency. Why? Well, a poorly designed warehouse floor plan often means warehouse associates must walk longer distances to accomplish tasks, resulting in wasted time and resources. More walking results in greater physical strain and fatigue, ultimately driving up picking error rates, which then has a negative impact on customer experience. So what are the speed of flow opportunities? Well, while there are proven and accepted practices, there's no universal warehouse design that works for every warehouse operation. For instance, extra wide aisles may work for one facility that has a constant two-way flow of traffic consisting of both warehouse associates and heavy equipment. For another facility, however, extra wide aisles may take up too much needed floor space that would be better used for storage. While there's no one-size-fits-all, there are these best practices that will help you create a warehouse design that maximizes efficiency. Are you aware what those best practices and options are? Identifying inefficiencies in your current design is a good starting point. For example, one common warehouse issue is poorly configured pick locations, pick faces as I call them, leading associates to sometimes backtrack to retrieve items instead of following a more efficient pick route. It's a common symptom. Another common issue is storing frequently picked items and picking them from bulk storage areas rather than associates retrieving products from an accessible primary pick location. So you'll need to consider order fulfillment methods, space utilization, and storage requirements that support the type of inventory you store, product sizes and other physical characteristics, how much stock you'll store, and where inventory arrives into and where it departs the facility. What distribution processes will you need to possess to drive service and volume at least cost? What differentiating factors are there in outbound versus inbound processes at your facilities, things like receiving, put-away, and bin replenishment? What solutions and enabling technologies will be required to meet your future growth plans? Will existing equipment be able to be repurposed to reduce any improvement costs? How will you address potential bottlenecks and foster the speed of flow objective? And how will you determine the return on investment? Because, folks, there must be an ROI. So there are reasons why and when to conduct an operational assessment. It's when we recognize that processes for optimal efficiency levels worked well at the time they were initially developed until they just don't anymore consistently. It's when we recognize that processes may have been designed for fulfillment conditions that were strikingly different just a few years ago. You know, I'm always looking for surveys, something to tell me about what people are thinking about. And I have to admit, very frankly, it's sometimes for self-serving reasons. To be honest with you, we want to know what our clients and potential clients are thinking. So we're always looking and reading various industry and professional magazines, such as Modern Materials Handling or Distribution Center Velocity magazine. And I recently saw a survey that I'd like to just briefly summarize with you, which I think indicates why companies were considering a distribution facility assessment. 82% of the responses were comprised of three major focus areas. First one, which accounted for 50% of the responses, had to do with improving productivity because of cost pressures. Now, however you measure it, whether it's cost to pick, total cost to deliver, probably in the case of these companies who answered this way, they thought their costs were excessive. The next in line that accounted for 18% of the responses was capacity limitations, and this included space limitations. The third response, which accounted for 14% of the responses, was increasing throughput. Now, they're all pretty much the same, aren't they? They're all revolving around the issue of, you know, how do I go about improving my speed of flow? So what do the choices really come down to in terms of positively influencing your warehouse improvement? Frankly, I think it comes down to being creative in both space utilization and workflow processes, meaning the time it takes to do things. Those are your key success factors because space and time both involve cost, at least some factor, in other words, of labor, equipment, or real estate. But I also do believe that time is the greatest resource, while at the same time, it's often our chief antagonist. And there are any number of reasons for that. We know that expectations for service for next day and same day delivery at much higher levels, as customers have grown accustomed to the service levels being offered by leading online suppliers to increase customer loyalty. There are changing order profiles. We see quite frequently orders changing from pallet loads to partial pallet loads to case quantities, and maybe even down to more orders with pieces or eaches as a unit of measure. There's built-in limited flexibility as operations struggle to accommodate peak order periods, whether that be daily or seasonal. There are shifting labor demographics, meaning the availability of people and being able to retain those people. And there's the availability of data and the task of converting the numbers you have, assuming you possess the right KPIs, and how you turn those numbers into meaningful insights that could help improve productivity, because KPIs can help you identify the constraints you face. Regardless of the industry vertical you're in, whether it's e-commerce pushing you or just a push to get as many orders out as possible and economically, it's creating a variety of common challenges to operational efficiency throughout all DCs and in warehouses. So you're up against all these common order fulfillment challenges. And by the way, it's not just about picking and packing, but also includes receiving and put away and bin replenishment, incorporating the types of value-added services you provide. Now, if you don't have the scale of company like Radwell, however, there are other less complex and less costly measures that could be taken as well. So to that end, we're going to examine some of those today to increase operational efficiency now, and then what could serve us well down the line. So what I did in preparation for this podcast was actually revisit some of our past consulting engagements over the past 18 to 24 months or so. And interestingly, I discovered, or was rather reminded, I guess, that each case exhibited multiple, or in many cases, very similar symptoms. The businesses that we worked with were experiencing rapid volume growth. They exhibited poor data modeling. That is, there was a lack of or a poor utilization of data to measure performance. In the last few years, their warehouse productivity, their KPIs were eroding or stagnating. There were significant increases, actually, in the number of SKUs that they were stocking. And there was little or no slotting methodology based on hits velocity or the space they had available in their facilities. There were poorly designed pick paths as a result. In some cases, warehouse associates were actually walking as much as 8 miles per day. Bin replenishment tasks were not prioritized over picking tasks. So the symptoms had some similarities. We shouldn't be surprised, therefore, by the results that these companies were experiencing. The impacts had similarities also. And the list of impacts is extremely long. There was a questionable perception that, quote unquote, we're running out of space. And you often heard rally cry being, quote, we need a larger facility. Warehouse management systems weren't sufficiently used as a warehouse execution system. In other words, using their processes to affect an operational plan. Kitting, fabrication, assembly, refurbishing, and product repair tasks sometimes complicated product pick selection and the resultant product flow. Dock to stock time was excessive. Many just weren't aware of what their cost per order, their cost per line picked, or their cost to deliver was. And those being some of the main forces, actually, in driving the timeliness of these performance assessments. And there was a general lack of employee incentives, that is, any type of gain share reward for employees. I know we can probably agree that although DCs and warehouses can differ by industry, and maybe even within the same industry, we should also think about this topic kind of like we do about a snowflake. You know, snowflakes are never exactly the same, but they are similar. So I think all this instructs us that we need to start every distribution center and warehouse design assessment with a blank sheet of paper, few or no assumptions, no cookie-cutter approach, so that we can truly be educated by understanding for our own companies what our volumes are, our order profiles, what product material handling characteristics are of the products we stock, any value-added services that are being performed, and possessing the appropriate data for modeling. I firmly believe that in distribution warehousing, it's all about the uninterrupted speed of flow. As I continue, I want to introduce something called goods to person. Goods to person is a solution that maximizes bringing product to people rather than people going to the product. So another reminder, the solutions I'm going to describe today are expanded upon in the white paper that we'll be making available at the end of this podcast, and I'll describe to you at the conclusion. But first, let's just verbally summarize some of these approaches. So this is where you may want to begin to really take some notes. And let me describe something called a high-velocity pick zone. A high-velocity pick zone employs flow racking, conveyor to take product away, and offers a high degree of goods-to-person opportunity. Now, I often describe this configuration as a warehouse in a warehouse because it's really about a dense storage module where product is slotted in the flow racking in a decreasing order hits sequence starting from the rear of the module. Conveyor is eventually moving the product to a packout or a consolidation area, and the conveyor used is often at least partially motorized. The characteristics of this picking module are is that you can store and pick pieces, that is, eaches or cartons, in many cases, 600 to 700 or more SKUs, and sometimes a lot more, we've seen up to 1,700 SKUs, can fit in this module, and they usually represent anywhere from 50% up to 70% of the order hits. Now, if you're familiar at all with Pareto's law, it's basic Pareto's law in action. And surprise of all surprises, by using some additional proprietary methods, we have found that ultimately one person can handle the volume in these high-velocity pick zones, maybe except for during peak times of the day or during seasonal peaks. Yes, that's 50% or more of the picks handled by one person. It highlights the importance of slotting product by hits velocity, and then within that, by storage bay, and then within bay, by establishing specific golden zones that foster product accessibility. And if you augment it with zone or batch picking, we typically find that overall warehouse productivity can be increased, that is, overall warehouse productivity can be increased by between 30 to 50%. Now, the KPI we typically use to measure this result is cost per line picked. Another great option is something called narrow aisle storage. This allows you to store stock keeping units that may be high velocity, that is, the A's or the high B's, but because of their physical characteristics, their size, their weight, don't fit well in the high-velocity pick zone, as I've described it. But there is still opportunity. You can go typically from 10 to 12-foot aisles because of your need to accommodate a forklift, down to 5.5 to 6-foot aisles with the use of a different order picker for this purpose. And you may find yourself having to repurpose or reposition some of your standard pallet racking. But the advantages of narrow aisle storage are still there. Next comes the topic of vertical lift modules, often called VLMs and carousels. These types of applications and solutions are really represent goods to person in the strictest sense. VLMs, here's where you might want to store smaller footprint SK. Again, if we augment it with zone batch picking, I've seen VLMs and carousels in our experience that can yield us in excess of 300 picks an hour per person. And again, our white paper that we'll offer later on will help you to visualize this productivity enhancing solution. Then we have autonomous mobile robots, often called AMRs or collaborative robots. When we talk about collaborative robots, we're really no longer talking about the future. It is now. And I happen to believe that by 2025, AMRs will be pretty ubiquitous in distribution warehousing and have uses in both outbound and inbound applications, whether it's automated storage or automated retrieval, or these new collaborative robots. While driving, what's driving the rapid adoption is something called robotics as a service. It's essentially leasing the robots for a period that you need them, and it minimizes your upfront capital costs. We have some other topics to discuss. We could also consider some other methods to optimize storage depth, such as a pushback rack, pallet flow rack, double deep rack, drive-through rack, etc. Again, if you request a white paper resource I'll be offering later on, you'll be able to get a more detailed summary and explanation of the pros and cons of each. One of the issues we frequently run into also is how we stage and further consolidate customer orders, particularly if we use batch and or zone picking, where different portions of a customer order reaches the packing or staging area at different times. Some of the newer collaborative robots, or the AMRs that we talked about earlier, can transport up to 3,000 pounds. So it's a growing application opportunity. You pick to the robot and then send the AMR off to a designated staging area, or in a receiving or put-away application, pick and load the AMR and direct it to the storage areas. A newer product out there called Speed Cells offers some interesting staging and order consolidation opportunities also. Sometimes they're used within the context of being called put walls, but interestingly, folks are also gravitating to utilization in receiving and put away. So hopefully you've been listening today, because for some of you folks, it's I hope you're thinking about the fact that it's maybe some time for action. And if so, I would ask you to please ask yourself these questions. Can you support your DC and warehouse future volumes with your current warehouse space? What distribution center processes will drive service and volume targets at the least cost? Can your existing equipment be used or repurposed to reduce implementation costs? What is the appropriate speed of design, flow, and specifications for storage, conveyance, and material handling? How best will you use your warehouse management system for both planning and execution? What's the best storage slotting mechanism and methods for your particular operation? What picking, packing, staging, receiving, put-away, and bin replenishment methods will yield the most bang for the buck for you? Are there any design changes required to your overall physical distribution network? What is your expectation for return on investment? And as I mentioned earlier, there must be an ROI. If you do move ahead and begin an initiative, how will you or should you measure success? So finally, our offer to you, and let me emphasize, in making this offer, there's no further obligation, and I promise I won't call you. But if you request it, I will send you our full white paper, which also includes the visuals that will surely enhance this podcast. We'll send you a detailed summary of recommended key performance indicators for you to consider. And we'll send you our Drive Your Distribution Center and Warehouse Performance Assessment Guide. It describes our three-phase approach, so you can find out how to turn your DC and warehouse into a speed of flow profit center. You're not just a cost center anymore. So with that, thank you very much for listening. And thanks again to the folks at Radwell for hosting this podcast. Stay well, folks.
A big thank you to Howard for providing our listeners with a great presentation. We hope Howard's information was informative and provided some valuable insight into distribution facility operations assessments. To get in touch with Howard, his contact information is available in the episode notes. Thank you for joining us for Episode 7 of Radwell Automation Nation. Until next time. To learn more about Radwell, visit radwell.com or connect with us on social media. To contact us about this podcast, email automationnation@radwell.com. Thanks for joining us.